I'm Tabby Smiley. Welcome to the second hour of our program today as we kick off Black Maternal Health Week. On the B side of this hour, a conversation with FemTech founder Kimberly Seals Allers about IRTH, that's spelled I-R-T-H, an app designed to eradicate racial disparities in childbirth. But we commence this hour speaking of everyday people. He's an everyday person, and I love him dearly. His name is Paul Rykoff. He's the president of Righteous Media, Inc., and host of the very popular Independent Americans podcast. Paul joins us now with his reaction to the breaking news on this program yesterday. I said it then. I will say it again today. It meant something to me that Dr. West chose this platform. Cornel West chose us to make his announcement regarding his vice presidential running mate, and that news is everywhere. No sooner than he had said it, it shot around the world, and all in the national news are stories and commentary about his decision yesterday, announced on this program to pick Dr. Malina Abdullah as his running mate, making this the first all-black team to run for president and vice president. And we talked about some of the similarities between Malina Abdullah and the current vice president, Kamala Harris, both from Oakland, both, of course, both black women, both from Oakland, both educated at Howard University, both members of AKA. That was fascinating in our conversation yesterday. It was interesting to hear Dr. West and Dr. Abdullah together lay out their platform. And so they're just one of any number of independent teams. Robert Kennedy Jr. announced his running mate some days ago. Jill Stein is out there. And so there are a number of independents running this year for the White House, more than I've ever seen, I think, in my life. Is I wanted to tap in with Paul Rykoff, Mr. Independent American, host of that popular podcast, to get his take on Dr. West and these other self-proclaimed independents who are all competing for your vote this November. Paul, welcome back. Good to have you on, my friend. How are you, sir?
Great to talk to you, sir. Happy spring. This is an exciting time to talk about the things we've been talking about for many years. It's all kind of coming together now in ways that we predicted and talked about and discussed. So it's a very exciting and interesting time for all these issues.
You call it exciting and interesting. If Joe Biden were here, he'd probably call it, he'd call it something else, but it would not be exciting and interesting. Nauseating. Nauseating might be his choice. I talked to Dr. West late last night, and I'm putting our business out there, but I can do that, I guess. I don't think Doc would be upset. So Doc called me last night, and we had a post-mortem on the conversation. He asked me what I thought, and I asked what he thought, and we sort of talked about it for a while. And I said to him last night, I asked him, did you see the statement from the Democratic National Committee? He said, I did not see it. I said, the DNC put out a statement almost immediately after you came off the air, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is close, pretty close to a quote. Their quote was, you can look it up online, but the DNC put out a statement, and they said, while Dr. West has chosen and announced a vice presidential running mate, we still believe that there are only two people who have a path to 270 Electoral College votes. Their names are Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and any vote for any third-party candidate is a vote for Donald Trump. That's what they said. Now, Paul, you're good at this. I'm relatively good at this. I read between those lines. What I said to Doc last night was, I found it fascinating and interesting that they did not come at you harder, which suggests to me, and maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, but I am, it suggests to me the Democratic Party is putting the pause button for a second. They want to take the temperature of this. They understand this all-black ticket could do some damage, and they didn't come after Dr. West yesterday as they've come after others. They tore Robert Kennedy Jr., a new one, when he announced his running mate. They were, I won't call it kid gloves, but I noted the tone and the temperature of how they responded to his announcement yesterday. That's my take. What's your take?
I think that that's right, and I think that I've known Dr. West for a long time, have tremendous respect for him, and I think this is a historic moment for this ticket, and Dr. Abdullah is a very impressive leader, a proven leader. I think that this is really, really, really interesting, because I think what Biden and the DNC said is wrong. I don't think that every independent candidate helps Donald Trump.
Wow.
I we'll go deeper into that. I think that Kennedy is a net gain for Biden. But I think maybe more importantly, I don't think Biden really has the good sense on what the heck's going on in this country right now. Mm. Or maybe they do, and they're trying to please everybody. But all of this is a function in some way of his failures, of his weaknesses, of his vulnerabilities. Now, that doesn't mean that you should necessarily vote for Donald Trump. But knowing Dr. West as I do from afar, this is part of the reason why he's running, mm-hmm. right? He knows he can't win. Dr. Abdullah knows that they have a, you know, statistically very difficult chance of actually winning. But the goal as an activist running for president is to influence policy. That's what Ralph Nader did. It's what Ross Perot did. It's what many other candidates have done. And I think Dr. West, you know, whether he says it explicitly or not, is now part of the discussion. His agenda is part of the discussion. And that in and of itself is a goal of running for president. Right. And I think if you're Joe Biden, you definitely should be concerned about Cornel West and Dr. Abdullah taking away a significant percentage of black people, of Arab and Muslim Americans, of young people and progressives that view Joe Biden as not liberal enough, and a percentage of people who are independent and just looking for a kind of screw the man kind of vote. Right. All of those go together in a group of people that may be less than a percentage point ultimately nationally for Cornel West and Dr. Abdullah, but that could be enough to influence one swing state, a couple thousand votes in Michigan, and cost the election. So Joe Biden would be smart to figure out a strategy about how to engage and negotiate and have a conversation with Dr. West, Dr. Abdullah, and their supporters.
His name is Paul Rykoff. He's the host of the very popular podcast called Independent Americans, and you see why I'm talking to him. His pulse is on the pulse of what many independents in this country are thinking, so we're going to probe this a little bit further when we come forward. Paul Rykoff on Tavis Smiley.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley.
Ranked number 45 on the Heavy 100 list of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America. Made fresh daily in the Mert Park,
Los Angeles, California.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and Paul Rykoff, who is the host of the very popular podcast, Independent Americans. I want to make the most of the time I have left with Paul between now and the bottom of the hour. So, Paul, let me jump right in. Give me some sense, now that you speak for all independent Americans any more than I speak for all black folk, it ain't like they meet at my house on Sundays and give me the script for the week. So I'm not asking you to speak for all independent Americans. What I am asking you is to give me a sense, since you do this podcast, and obviously independents are tuning in droves to engage and to hear what you have to say, what your guests have to say. Give me a sense of how independents are viewing these choices that they do have. We have been told by a number of analysts that, to your earlier point, there are really going to be about 3 million people in about 6 or 7 swing states that really, you know, either elect Biden or Trump or somebody. But it's really coming down to about 3 million people in 6 or 7 swing states. So maybe all of our votes are wasted. I say that, of course, tongue in cheek, outside of those 3 million in those swing states. But how are independents viewing the choices in front of them in this season?
Well, let's first talk about how big of a group they are, Tavis. As a reminder, folks don't know, 49% of the voting public in America is independent or unaffiliated. You know, we are now pretty soon going to be the biggest voting group in America, more than Democrats and Republicans. But they are not a monolith, right? Any more than the Democratic Party is a monolith or the Republican Party. You have people on all different spectrums, all different backgrounds. But you see some interesting trends. 60% of young people are independents, 50% of veterans. Increasingly, Latino and people of color voters are registering as independents in higher numbers. This is the future. People are saying, I want to be a free agent. I want to pick candidates that I believe in. I don't want to be beholden to a party. And what unites them more than anything else is they just don't want to be affiliated with the Republican or the Democratic Party. That's the biggest uniting factor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now what you've got is some folks who are really questioning, like, who's a real independent is a real conversation right now. And I think when you talk about, like, Dr. West and Dr. Abdullah as an example, I think most independents will say they're not real independents. Right. They were Democrats, or they might have been Democrats recently, or they tend to fit more in a Democratic box. And I don't think they will ultimately move the needle with 99% of independents. But, you know, this ticket could be the choice for many black voters, especially undeclared protest voters. Right. In Muslim and Arab Americans and others. And they could be the difference in the whole election. So I think that's really important. But a question to ask every independent, self-proclaimed independent, is if you got the Democratic or Republican nomination, would you take it? If the answer is yes, then that's your answer, and they're probably not a true independent. Mm-hmm. And true independents won't trust them, right? And I think there are many different kinds of independents, but the name is really sexy right now. And RFK, as an example, in my view, is not a real independent because he was a Democrat 6 months ago. His running mate was a Democrat like 3 weeks ago, right? So they tend to be opportunistic, this group especially. Kennedy has some other issues. I mean, he's anti-vax. He's a 9/11 conspiracist. He's pushing Putin's talking points, but he's trying to capture this base of people. And I said this earlier, if RFK didn't have the independent brand, if he didn't have the Kennedy name, and he didn't have his running mate's money, he'd probably be like Dean Phillips.
Wow.
He'd be at about less than 1% of the polls, right? And so ultimately the question is, can you move people away from Biden and Trump? And the answer for most of them is going to be no. And I think most independents will come home, in my view right now, to Biden. But there are more options than ever before. And I think we'll see an increasing number of options over the next few years. And ultimately, Tavis, better options. I always use this example. You might dismiss independent candidates, say they can't win. If tomorrow The Rock declared as an independent candidate, he could win, right? And he would be formidable, and especially 4 years from now. So I think you've got to use this almost as a testing ground for what is really to come in the years to come down the line.
There are a couple things I want to probe now, given what you've just said. And you answered in part this question, but I want to know why. So because one is an independent, a self-proclaimed independent, it doesn't mean that you can't vote for a Democrat. Doesn't mean you can't vote for a Republican. You're still independent. But in this race, you choose, in your independence, Joe Biden. In your independence, given your own agency, you vote for Donald Trump. You suggest that you think that the independents in this race will probably break for Joe Biden. Why?
Because he is, at the end of the day, I think he is the most viable option. He is the lesser of all the evils, because I think most independents are going to say, hey, Biden and Trump are the only ones that could win. If I do cast my vote for RFK or for Jill Stein or for Cornel West, especially in a swing state, I'm actually giving it to someone else, right? I can protest and I can put up my fight and I can say, hey, I stood for this person. But ultimately, if you vote for Jill Stein or you vote for Cornel West, you're taking a vote from Joe Biden. That's unless you're going to stay home, right? And I think many people who are voting for RFK are going to take a vote away from Donald Trump. Many of them will care about that. And ultimately, they'll say, you know what, I really want to influence this unfortunate reality we have of these two candidates. And I think most of them, who tend to also be somewhat moderate, are going to view Joe Biden as a more moderate option than Donald Trump. Back in the day, you know, Biden used to be a moderate Democrat, especially compared to AOC or Cornel West or someone else like that. Donald Trump is a right-wing Republican. He's not Adam Kinzinger. He's not Liz Cheney. And I think many people just care, quite frankly, about the threat to our democracy that Trump faces. So what I'm saying is I think most independents want better. They want a better candidate. And at the end of the day, that 49%, 90-plus percent of them are going to vote for Joe Biden or Donald Trump, and I think two-thirds of them will go to Biden.
I want to talk more in a moment about the options, to use your word, the options that we have in this race and the options that you suggested we'll have in the future, more options, better options. Put a pin in that. We'll come to that in a moment, Paul Wyckoff. But if Dr. West and Dr. Abdullah were here, and they were yesterday, if they were here today and they heard you say what you just said, they would say to you, Brother, I hear Dr. West now, Brother Paul, my view is
he said it before.
Yeah, I know he has. He'd said it before. And he'd say it again in this instance. And here's what he'd say. I think, Brother Paul, I heard what you just said, my dear brother, my good brother. But my view is that anybody who would vote for a West Abdullah ticket probably wasn't going to vote for Joe Biden anyway. And they certainly weren't going to vote for Donald Trump. So this analysis that, you know, that we are taking votes away or stealing votes or spoiling this for Joe Biden, you didn't use those terms. Those terms, others have. You take my point, though. But that notion, that narrative that we're taking votes away from Joe Biden, West and Abdullah would argue is not true, because anyone, again, they would say, who's voting for us, wasn't going to vote for Joe Biden or Donald Trump anyway, at most, or at best
maybe,
or worst. Depending on how you look at it, at best or worst, they may have stayed home. But that would be their argument. Now, your response.
Maybe. I don't know. Show me the data, right? Like, show me the data. You know, show that to be true.
Right.
I don't know if that's true. I'm sure it's true for some percentage. And I think maybe, you know, I would turn it back to my friend Dr. West and say, actually, what you have is the power to decide where those votes go. Because, you know, a month before the election, as many independent candidates have in the past, he could stand up and say, hey, guys, I've talked to Joe Biden. He's going to be, you know, he's going to change his policy on Gaza. He's going to focus on issues we care about. I recommend, instead of pulling that lever for me, especially in Pennsylvania and Michigan, you pull it for Joe Biden. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Cornel West could be a cabinet secretary. There's all this political jockeying that happens in those late stages. So this is about movement politics, right? You know that. I know that. Cornel knows that. We've been around this for our whole lives. This is movement politics in some ways at its best and at its most powerful. Andrew Yang is maybe a recent example. He wanted universal basic income. That's why he was on that stage. It wasn't an issue until he was on that stage. Ralph Nader did it for seatbelts. Whatever the issue is that independent candidate wants to push forward, they can make tremendous progress on. But I think they also have to be honest with their voters. What's Cornel West going to do in October if it looks like his, however many thousands or hundreds of thousands of voters, will tip the election one way or the other? What's he going to do? That's my question for him.
Yep. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, as our parents used to tell us. We'll deal with that when we arrive. That said, to this other issue you raised about the options, I've asked this of many others, and now I get a chance to ask it of the host of the Independent Americans podcast, and who better to ask this question of than Paul Rykoff? And the question is simply this. When it comes to these third-party options, obviously, and I said this many times, I hate the word spoiler, because when Republicans lose to Democrats, they don't call Democrats spoilers. Democrats don't call Republicans spoilers. But if you're a third-party candidate and you take votes away from them as if they own those votes, then you get called a spoiler. Here you come now saying that in the future, we're going to have more options. We're going to have better options. You do realize that's going to turn this duopoly table upside down.
Yes, exactly.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing as you see it. That's a good thing.
Yes, to quote Hannibal from the A-Team, I love it when a plan comes together. Like, that is what we want to happen.
Right.
That is what needs to happen, because I think almost everybody realizes that this system is broken and that it's dominated too much by parties that aren't listening to most Americans. And we need more options. We've got 100 options on Amazon if you want to buy, you know, a table,
yes.
But you only have two options to run for president. And the system perpetuates itself. So in many places, they're the only two options. You don't even have those options because in a primary in a place like Los Angeles or New York, you never even see anything other than a Democrat. So yes, we do need to disrupt the system. We need open primaries, right, where people have less barriers to entry. And I also want to do one thing that I think is really important here, sir. I want to elevate and mention a success story. There is a young mayor named Yemi Mobilati, who is an independent mayor of Colorado Springs. He did this. It wasn't for president, because for president right now, yes, many of these candidates in this format this year will be a spoiler.
Yep.
But let's look down ticket. Let's look at governors. Jesse Ventura did it. Let's look at Yemi Mobilati in Colorado Springs, a Nigerian immigrant, a huge motivator, uniter, business leader, success story. He is what success looks like for independence. And I think he represents the future, not just for independence, but for American politics.
Speaking of what success looks like for independence, I said this to Dr. West. I've said to others. I've said on this program. And speaking of saying things on this program, I laugh when you mention all the choices on Amazon. I just literally said that yesterday, Paul Rykoff, that only for president do we get like two choices. But anything else in our lives that we have to make decisions about, we get multiple choices. But here, only two. I don't like it. I ain't buying it. I digress for now. You and I are simpatico in that regard. But what I've also said on this program before, with all due respect to my friend Dr. West and others, and Jill Stein, Bobby Kennedy, all of them, that my view is that you have to spend the time building an independent party from the ground up. And so your example of this mayor in Colorado makes my point that I don't know how successful we can ultimately be as independents, those who are independents, those who believe in more options and more choices. How successful can these independents actually be if they jump in every 4 years at the time we vote for president rather than building an apparatus from the ground up, Paul?
You are exactly right, except I will challenge one point.
Sure, please.
There is not a national political infrastructure for independence. That is the problem. Everything from ballot access to campaign finance reform to just simply being able to vote in primaries. I'm an independent in New York City. I'm a combat veteran. I served at 9/11. I could not vote in the primary for president in my state for a publicly funded, taxpayer-funded private primary. That's what's important for people to understand. Every time there's a primary, independents often can't vote in them, but they're using your public schools. They're using public dollars. So the parties want to have it both ways.
Yeah.
They want to be the players, and they want to be the referees. And the only point of contention or challenge that I would have with you is it doesn't necessarily have to be a party.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is ballot access.
Okay.
What we need is unity. What we need is fundraising mechanisms. And most of all, what I think we need is viable leaders.
Yeah.
Right? George Washington was an independent candidate. Right. And there can be other independent candidates again, but there's got to be more than one. And I think this movement is happening, but we don't need to call it an independent party. The best party of all is no party at all.
Yep.
Right. And politics in America is not a party. It's a movement. And I think if we look at it through that prism and reject the entire construct, then it gets exciting and then it gets better for our democracy where people don't have to pick a team. They can be a free agent if they want to be a Lakers fan one day and be a Clippers fan the next. That's fine by you. You can do that in this kind of environment. And I think it will also, most importantly, welcome people back into the process. It'll get us talking. It'll moderate our politics. And it'll get us in a place where we can get things done and get people off the sidelines who don't want to be in politics because it's so divisive and it's so nasty.
You were doing okay until you got to that point of outright heresy when you suggested that you could be a Laker fan one day and a Clipper fan the next. No, you cannot. No,
how about my Knicks? How about my Knicks and Jalen Brunson? Can we talk about my Knicks? We finally have something to talk about in New York.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a long time since I had something to talk about.
And I invite everybody to come be a Knicks fan for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be an exciting ride.
I'll tell you what,
if Jalen Brunson ran for mayor of New York, he'd probably beat Eric Adams right now.
No, he's having a heck of a season, man. He's had a heck of a season. I ain't mad at him or the Knicks. His name is Paul Rykoff. Check out his podcast. You'll love it. I am always empowered by it. I learn stuff from it all the time. It's called Independent Americans, and he's the president and CEO, the founder of Righteous Media, and I celebrate that as well. Paul Rykoff, good to have your insights. We'll do it again, my friend.
Thank you, sir, for all you do.
Thank you, sir. All the best to you. More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.